We welcome everybody to Life in Christ Church. From what I understand, our brother is getting some rest, much needed rest, and having a good time, him and his lovely wife, family in Kentucky. He's long overdue for this kind of a sabbatical, I would think. Mark is a good man, a man of God for sure. Anyways, last week we covered what I was given by the Lord, which is very rarely preached anymore for one reason or the other. But I've noticed over time that we've dwindled in preaching what God wants us to preach, especially in these last days. We speak a lot about how to make more money. We speak about how to live more happily, and which are all good. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think we ought to be preaching more about sin. We ought to be preaching more against hell. We ought to be preaching more about the Trinity, about the Holy Spirit. And we have a tendency, for some reason or another, to believe that that offends other people. And in my book, if it offends them, they have a problem, not us. That's the way I see it. The Lord taught me a lot of things about how the world is today. And believe it or not, I could see the picture many, many years ago of what's going on today. What I see today is it's scary for those that are not with God. It doesn't bother me a bit. It bothers me, it concerns me, it gets me angry, but not the way other people would anger. I get angry because people aren't listening. And a lot of it has to do with the pulpit. I blame it on the pulpit. Square it on us. Well, anyways, we started off the phase one last week. And phase one was the difference between the indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit. And there is a difference. Although it's the same Holy Spirit, there is a difference. There are three baptisms that seldom are discussed for one reason or the other. I discuss them a lot because it's biblical. It is from the Bible. And the first step is, well, let's put it this way. Let's go to screen number one, if we would, Doc, in the book of Galatians 3 and 22. Let's start with that. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. That's Moses' law, the Old Testament. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. 24, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. Number 25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, which is the law. 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Number 27, for as many of you, now listen to this part. That's your first baptism. Listen to this. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It's not water baptism. It speaks not of water baptism. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You'll find that in Galatians 3 and 27. Now let's go to 28 and I'll show you something. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. That's through the baptism into Christ. The Holy Spirit actually is the one that baptizes us when we accept the Lord as our Savior into Jesus Christ. Let's go to 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You have been adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. The subject for today, this is part two of what we discussed last week. The power to overcome, now listen to that carefully, the power to overcome abides in us. That's the power. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in us. Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Get it again. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Romans 6 and 3. Now, it makes no mention, at least not just yet, water baptism. So the Holy Spirit baptizes believers into Christ. It's in Romans 6 and 3. At the Spirit baptism, Jesus baptizes believers into the Holy Spirit. You will find that in Matthew 3 and 11. So I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John speaking, John the Baptist. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me, that's Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's the power that we speak of. Not my words, God's words. So at the Spirit baptism, Jesus baptizes believers into the Holy Spirit. In water baptism, which is the third baptism I speak of, is a public proclamation. Now listen carefully to this. Is a public proclamation of a submission to God and acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You would find that in Mark 1, 4 through 5. So there are three baptisms, not just one. Three. Not just two. Three. And I'll explain why. This is where we get bogged down into certain things, and you've got different doctrines going one way or the other. Some believe in just one baptism, others believe in just two. The Bible mentions three. They're actually quite clear, but it can be very difficult, especially in the King James Version. You can really get confused. That's the one I use for preaching. So you have to kind of explain what it all means. Acts 1 and 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So you see the difference? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1 and 5. The Holy Spirit reveals God's thoughts, teaches, and guides believers into all truth. The Holy Spirit also helps Christians in their weakness and intercedes for them. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, believers are saved, they're filled, they're sealed, and they're sanctified. Now let's take the word sanctified real quick and put a little light to it. Sanctification, a lot of people get confused with that word. It's to be made holy, to make holy. You're justified when you accept the Lord as your Savior. Then you are sanctified, and it's a continual sanctification all the way through until the day you're glorified, which is the last step. It means when we're resurrected and we have become one in Christ and the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verses 37 through 38. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. There's the water baptism. So the Holy Spirit reveals God's thoughts, teaches, and guides believers into all truth. Again, the Holy Spirit also helps Christians in their weakness and intercedes for them through the power of the Holy Spirit. Believers are saved, they're filled, they're sealed, and sanctified. And then, of course, now in Acts chapter 4, 7 through 38, the first thing we need to recognize is that God anoints his people. And listen to this carefully. The first thing we need to recognize is that God anoints his people for purpose. He anointed Jesus and he anoints his children. We are all anointed. If you've accepted the Lord as your Savior, you become anointed. You are now united into Christ and to our Father in heaven. Why does God do this? Let's examine Acts 10 and 38 again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Now, he anointed him at that point in time. He didn't come anointed. He became anointed here on earth. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Notice the first scripture doesn't say how God anointed Jesus, the Son of God, with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. What he does say is that he anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man, What many Christians don't understand is that even though Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, He left all of His power and all of His glory in heaven and came to earth in the same form as every other man. He did that for a reason. That if He could do it, we could ultimately do it. But it would take the power of the Holy Spirit in us, who abides in us and gives us the fire and the power to do what we need to do, to preach the gospel, to teach others by the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we act, the things that we do. Hopefully and prayerfully, we are a light, and that's what the Bible says. We are to be a light, the salt of the world. We're to be a light. We can only do that if we know and we exercise our right as a Christian and we follow the word. In Philippians 2 and 8, it tells us, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, this is Jesus, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He died that we may live. But He had to die as a man, not as the Holy One that came to live here as a man. He had to die as a man. To show us what we can do and to give us that power initially. The cross and the Holy Spirit are tied together. The Holy Spirit can only work through the parameters of the cross. That's called the age of the Spirit after the death of Christ. The power comes then at that point in time. Let me read you a reading from Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 from my Bible. You can put it up if you like. And it reads, therefore, in all things He had to be made like His brethren, that's us, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in these things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Why is it saying this? Say, for example, Jesus would come, and then we finally figured out that He is the all-powerful and the only one and the Son of God. And He discloses and shows us all this power. What does it really teach us? That He's almighty, that He's Jesus, He's all-powerful. Those are all good things. But He wants to show us that if He could do it, and it took the power of the Holy Spirit to help Him accomplish His calling, we too can do it, because He says, I need to leave, I have to leave, but I will send you the Comforter. I will send you. He was talking about Himself. Why is it so necessary? Look around you now. This is where I, as an evangelist, this is why I stay with what the Word tells me to do and why. We were talking this morning about the condition of the United States back, let's say, 20 years ago. When we first moved here, it was already getting to a point to where I knew as a Hispanic that we were being invaded. Actually, an invasion. And then when I started hearing the words, hope and change have come to America, that did a ding, ding, ding to me. And then I knew who was behind it. There's an organization called La Raza. They started off as a very, very interesting, unique organization, predominantly for Hispanics that were poor, they needed help. And it was a very noble organization. But ultimately, it was taken over. It was infiltrated. And if you stop to think who did it, it's people from the Middle East that claim that they are Hispanics, and they're really not. Guess who they are? They're our enemy, and I can prove it. But I'm going beyond what I'm going to preach. But I wanted to clarify this, because this is why when the politicians have told us in the past, and even today, don't mix politics and religion. And I say, why not? What I mean by why not is that we are to preach against that they tell us to do, when they are supposed to be doing what we tell them to do. They are telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, They're going to do what they want with our money. Social Security is an example. Now, all of a sudden, when I was a kid, I got my Social Security. I was told, this is not an ID card. I got it back when I was 15, 16. I forget how old I was. They're not an ID card. Now, all of a sudden, it is an ID card. What changed? Why? Well, think about it. Voting privileges. Thus, the takeover of America. And it was sworn when I was a boy by Khrushchev himself that they would take us from the inside without firing around. They would take it over. And they have done it nonchalantly for the past several decades since I was a boy. We are today where we are because the church has been told not to be bold, not to preach the gospel, taking all the Bibles out of even the hospitals, schools. No Pledge of Allegiance. There's no room for that. Then you think about it. What's even worse? Don't talk about God in front of me. And especially Jesus. We don't believe in that. Who's we? You are there because you work for me, and I happen to be a Christian. This nation, I don't care what anybody tells you, is a Christian nation. The Mayflower arrived here for the very purpose of what? To preach the gospel. Amen? And here we have a Hispanic. We have blacks, whites, all united. They don't want that either. They hate it. In the Bible, it also speaks, in the last days, demons claiming to be we, us, them, they, and so on. We hear that now. We hear it. Those are pronouns. I know an individual, and I believe I mentioned him not too long ago, happened to know. His name is Javier Becerra in Spanish. In English, it's Javier Becerra. He's from California. Attorney General, I think, in California. I know him well. A Marine. He do not believe in the Pledge of Allegiance now. He believes in abortion. He believes in things that I'd never even considered he would know or much less practice them. I had a lot of respect for him at one point because he was a Marine like I was. But I lost respect when he started talking about things that are totally against the grain, more than that, against God. And he's not the only one. We're infiltrated. Why? Because we have not been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why. Where there is power, we've got the power. Why do they have the power and we're weak? I know a lot of churches that don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I do. I've seen it. From the time I was this little, I saw it as a Catholic. I saw it and I got thrilled. I said, oh my God, what beauty, look at this. And here we are today, losing the country to the devil. Well, I got news for the devil. I'm here together with you and we're kicking him right in the teeth. Each and every time. He is afraid of you. He is afraid of you. He's afraid of you. He's afraid of you and you and you and you and you and me. Why? Because the power to destroy him is in us. We just haven't had the boldness to step out and say, go. Get thou behind me, Satan. There is no room here for you. There is none. He can only take the ground that you allow him to have. The power is in us. Let's show him. There is no biblical evidence, by the way, that Jesus performed any miracles. Now listen to this carefully. There is no biblical evidence that Jesus performed any miracles, nor did he enter into the ministry until he received the Holy Spirit. And the power that comes with the infilling or the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It is also important to know that Jesus told the disciples not to go anywhere or do nothing or anything, not even to witness until they had received the anointing or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Luke 24:49 tells us, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father." Who's the promise of the Father? The Holy Ghost. "Upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." In Acts 1 and 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You shall receive power. We now know every born-again believer has received the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Every one of us. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is in us. But this is not to be confused with the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is completely separate experience, but every born-again believer has received the Spirit of God. Each of you is anointed by the Lord. You have received the Spirit of God and thereby empowered to be victorious in the name of Jesus. Remember that part though. In the name of Jesus is a child of God. If you're a child of God, you have been anointed with His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us. And what He begins to do is begins to transform us. To transform us. And that transformation is all for the good. The anointing. Church, this message is so important because the power to overcome abides in each of us. In 1 John 4:4, it tells us, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Folks, if you look today at the world, the gates of hell are flooding us with demons, deceptive schemes, division, sickness, poverty, lack, weakness, doubt, anxiety, stress, confusion, depression, oppression, and so on. All of which are tools of the devil. Every one of them. So why are we losing the nation? Because we're losing the world. Why are we losing the world? Because we lost sight of who we are. Because more than that, we've lost sight of who God is. We have lost sight of who Jesus Christ is and what He came to do for us. It is time for the church to start pleading the blood of Christ. We're not doing it. We're preaching and teaching other things. How to get more money in the account. How to remain positive. There's only one way that I know of to remain. I've been through it all. As I said, I suffered from PTSD as a Marine for many, many years. Psychology don't cut it. I tried it. Didn't work. Because, see, psychology deals only with the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. But there was something lacking when I was going through, and I'm not denying the fact that it did some good, but it didn't give it the polish that I really needed and required at the time. I was loco. I was crazy. I was a drunk and no good. That didn't change me. But the minute I was already born again, child of God, at the age of 13, I accepted the Lord. But the progression that in terms of learning, it takes a lot. Even today, I may take a scripture and maybe it doesn't really mean what it says. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the Bible is very clear. If it gives you a scripture, the scripture itself ought to identify itself as reality. It's truth. That's what it is. But we begin to change it by using other Bibles to interpret it to mean something different. The ESV, for example, I read it a lot, and I've got all these different Bibles to point to different scriptures. In other words, what I'm saying is that the King James Version, it can be very complex. Am I right? So, there's the New King James Version. Little twist. Then there's the NIV, I believe it's called. New, is that what it's called? The New International Version. That's it. Then there's the other one, and then there's another one. So I got all these different Bibles, and then by the time I get to the third one, it's already taken the same scripture that I really understood, which I thought I didn't, and it converts it into something else. So when we point out something from the King James, then comes in the ESV, well, that's not what it says. This is what it says. So they take another Bible and compare it to the King James or the New King James. Now you've got an entirely different scripture. I stick with this. King James Version and the New King James Version. I'll tell you why. Because it has gotten me through a whole lot of things. If I think that I'm doing something wrong, I stop. Where are the gifts? Where are the fruit? Which one am I lacking? And then I go for the one that I'm lacking. Galatians chapter 5, I believe it is, 22 and 23, tells us about the fruit. Which one am I lacking? Am I happy? Yes. Do I have faith? Yes. And I go through the whole nine. If I'm missing them, I correct them. Lord, help me. But if you're going to be like some other people, it'd be crucial and critical, and you know, that's not correct. Well, then you use the right Bible. The Lord speaks through people that have been around the block and preaching and teaching the Word of God, much like Mark. You can't tell Mark very much about what's going on. He knows. A lot of us know. But the problem is, do we apply it? We can be masters. We can be intelligent. And why are you unhappy? Why are you not at peace? Why are you hurting? Why are you not as patient as you should be? Why are you living in anger? And I was. Something was missing. Of course it was. Remember in the book of Ephesians, in 1 Thessalonians, it speaks about the Holy Spirit being quenched and grieved. He doesn't leave you, but you grieve the Holy Spirit, you quench Him. In other words, when you submit to Him, good things begin to happen. You want me to give you a definition of it? Look at America today. Missing is the Lord. He's waiting here, where He was right inside, where He wanted to be, but we didn't allow it. We know better. We know much, much more than this guy. We know much, much more than that guy. We certainly know a lot more than God does. Yet He sits or stands. Come to me. Come to me. Why do I preach so stern? It's because that's the way the Lord taught me. He took me through things I'd never seen before. I was an investigator for many years. And believe it or not, during the course of my divorce, I wound up in jail. A man of God. All for the wrong things, but nonetheless, I saw something that I'd never seen before. The inside of a cell block. Not for long. But I had lost sight of the Lord too. By listening to other people. Instead of listening to my Lord and Savior. Today you couldn't move me. I don't care if you took a baseball bat and told me to change. If I don't change, you're going to kill me. By all means, knock yourself out. My body don't concern me one bit. Not one bit. What does concern me is eternal rest of my soul. Should bother and concern each and every one of us. The political world now, I will preach against and against and against until the day I die. Because I know how the devil operates, and everything you see. Now look at what's going on in this world now. But you can't preach against that either. I can. And I will. There is good and there is bad. What you see now is bad. Where does that come from? I don't care what Bible you read. If you're not getting the same kind of language I am, then there's something wrong. You're not in the Spirit. I'm telling you, man, we're hurting. We're hurting because, and I blame it on the pulpit. Because we listen to the wrong. Who in the world are the politicians? Who are they? Why do they know so much more than we do? Yet we are paying them millions. Millions to destroy us. Here. And then you got some bartender in Washington, D.C. telling you what to do. A bartender came out of nowhere. I know who she is. I know who they all are. Their eyes, everything they teach and everything that they do, legislate, they call. Legislate. Everything against the grain, everything that would benefit you and I as Americans. Why? To destroy us. And don't you believe in God, because see, God is the one causing this, according to them. Your God is causing all this. Dear Lord, what have we become? So it's time for the church to start pleading the blood of Christ, speak out against Satan with authority, and break every demonic stronghold, holding us hostage and keeping us from being the light our Heavenly Father called us to be. This is why I get those inserts that you got. Pray that prayer, you see what happens. Read those scriptures and see what happens. And apply them in your life and see what happens. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we lose the power of the Holy Spirit right now and bind all principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. All in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We don't do that enough. A lot of times when we pray for someone, and I've heard this before, well, you're not really the man that I thought you were because you laid your hands on me and I felt nothing. So they blame the messenger. What did God say? Or Jesus say? He said, your faith has made you well. Your faith. Not mine. Jesus said, I got plenty of faith. You're the one that's lacking it. Take it, grab it, and be healed. As we close, make sure that you stay tuned to these scriptures and the prayer, because it works. When we totally just surrender to evil, it will take control. And you will be able to tell, just again, using politics. They are so much out of whack that you can tell it in their eyes. And that's your president. Now, I don't mean to be rude or crucial against the presidency. I'm rude and critical about a man that don't belong there. He is taking that nation, but he's used as a puppet. The strongholds that I speak of, that's part of it. But we've allowed it, and we're supposed to keep mouth shut. Don't preach against it, because see, somebody's going to get offended. I don't care if you get offended. I'm telling you what's coming out of the book of life, the book of the Lord, the good word. If it offends you, then look up the definition of how you're being defined. If I go to church, I'll give you another example. When I was a kid, I was in Catholic school. I could barely speak English. And every chance, Sister Mary Genevieve, in second grade, got a chance, she puts soap in my mouth. Or she, with a ruler. I hated that woman with a passion. I did. And I really did. And hatred is the word. And that's a bad word. But that's how bad it got for me. Instead of correcting something, it got worse for me. And I completely got away from it. Later in time is when I became a born-again child of God and I accepted the Lord. Things began to change and I began to see a different Sister Mary Genevieve. I forgave her. You see, I could barely speak English, but she misunderstood what I said, and apparently she thought I was cussing. But she opened my mouth and then took a ruler and beat my hand. I was just a kid. That's what I'm talking about. Now, when you see the Lord, you talk to the Lord, you pray to the Lord, he helps you. He puts his spirit into you and says, come, follow me. Now, I know I've been very, very crucial. I'll probably lose all of you, or some of you anyways, because of my preaching. And that's okay, as long as one of you gets what I just talked about. That's the preaching that should be going on every Sunday. We should be practicing what I'm preaching every day, not just once in a while, every day. Look at the beatings that the Lord took. You couldn't identify him anymore by the time they got through with him. And yet he says, what did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So it's about forgiveness, and on our part, it's about repentance, obedience to the Lord. But you can only get that if you get the right kind of preaching done from the Word. Unless you want to come to a church and learn how to make more money, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all else. That's what I do. Bottom line, folks, bottom line, we've gotten away from the preaching, which is a real preaching. We've gotten away from the Word of God, and this is why I like Mark a lot, because he teaches right from the Word, and he knows the Word. He knows. In fact, I was watching Jimmy Swaggart this morning. Jimmy Swaggart is a great evangelist. I don't know if any of you know him, but he's a great evangelist, and I took a lot of my learning from him and a few others. But there's a couple of teachers in there that know the Bible inside out better than he does. And Jimmy Swaggart just, yeah, you're right. He's an evangelist. He's a preacher. So you got a preacher, you got a teacher. Sometimes both. But I tell you what, folks, I'm not going to change my preaching. I'm not going to change my style. That's what the Lord wants to be preached. This exactly what you hear today. Because we're not getting anywhere in this country. We're going down. The most powerful nation in the universe. There are people that are fighting to get in. I don't know of anyone that's fighting to get out. Make it that simple. Why is it? The Lord anointed and blessed this nation to do what? To preach and teach about him, the gospel. And we've gotten away from it. We've gotten into how to make more money and how to live a better life. You can do that by acting on the Word. And that's what we do, my wife and I. We do that. We don't have the best home. We've got just a very, very humble little home. But I'm happy there. Folks, again, I won't apologize for what I've said today. I will not apologize. If I'm wrong, all you need to do, and I'm approachable, this and this and this, explain it to me, or it was wrong. And I'll gladly look into it and pray for it, pray together, and we'll go from there. Anyways, I hope today was a lesson that we can all learn from. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father God, as we close, to thank you, Lord, for your Word, for your blessings. We thank you for your Holy Spirit and to understand the difference between the three baptisms that you obviously disclosed in your Word, Father God. We come before you to show you our love, to worship you and to praise you, Father. We thank you for every moment that you've given us. Every moment we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. Heavenly Father, we thank you for having a sanctuary that we can come and preach your Word. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' holy name, his people said, amen and amen. Thank you, Father. And thank you, folks.